The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Thursday, the 23rd of March in London. Coming up today...
Hike and see. The Fed opts for 25 basis points and bets on an end to the banking crisis.
A game changer. Citigroup's CEO on mobile banking risks to the industry as Yellen rejects a blanket deposit guarantee.
As easy as ABC for the BOE. Central bank set to hike rates as inflation data comes in red hot.
A homegrown bank run. Time to learn French and leadership is taxed. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers. I'm James Wilcock.
Plus, the high price of power. Bloomberg finds consumers are footing the bill for traders' energy market manipulation.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepker. Here are the stories that we're following today.
The Federal Reserve has raised rates for the ninth straight meeting and hinted there may be more hikes to come. Policymakers voted unanimously for a second straight 25 basis point hike. The move pushed rates to their highest level since September 2007 and follows an unprecedented year of aggressive tightening. And Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says he's prepared to go further.
If we need to raise rates higher, we will. I think... For now, though, as I've mentioned, we see the likelihood of credit tightening. We know that that can have an effect on the macroeconomy, on demand, on labor market, on inflation, and we're going to be watching to see what that is.
During his press conference, Powell repeatedly said the impact on lending from the banking sector problems isn't yet clear.
For purposes of our monetary policy tool, we're looking at what's happening among the banks and asking, is there going to be some tightening in credit conditions? And then we're thinking about that as effectively doing the same thing that rate hikes do. So in a way, that substitutes for rate hikes.
The Federal Reserve Chair also shared his thoughts on the speed at which events at SVB had unfolded, calling it a very fast run that left them wondering, quote, how did this happen?
Now, reacting to the rate decision, the former New York Fed President Bill Dudley said that the risk of a hard landing for the Federal Reserve has gone up. In an exclusive interview, the now Bloomberg opinion columnist broke down the message that Powell is trying to send to the markets.
Basically, the Fed is saying that one, uncertainty has gone up a lot. We're not really sure how long the banking system stress is going to last and how severe it's going to be. Number two, that stress is going to restrain the economy, and that substitutes a little bit for rate hikes. So we're not going to have to do as much as we thought we were going to have to do earlier.
Bill Dudley also told Bloomberg it's clear that the Fed believes its bid to quell inflation won't deepen the banking crisis.
As Jerome Powell was speaking to the press, his predecessor, the now Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, was on Capitol Hill taking questions from lawmakers. During her testimony, she ruled out an unlimited backstop for bank deposits.
It's not something that we're considering. All that I have said is that when the failure of a bank is judged by supermajorities of the FDIC board, the Fed board, and myself in consultation with the president, when such a failure is deemed to create systemic risk.
The comments seem to be at odds with Yellen's previous remarks on the matter this week. On Monday, the Treasury Secretary said the US is prepared to take further actions to protect depositors if smaller lenders are threatened.
Well, Yellen and Powell have been at the centre of efforts to restore stability to the US banking sector after the collapse of some mid-sized lenders. Now, Citigroup CEO Jane Fraser says that the ability to move millions of dollars with a few clicks is a sea change moment for how lenders respond to the risk of bank runs. Here's what she told Carlyle Group co-founder David Rubenstein.
It's a complete game changer from what we've seen before. There were a couple of tweets, and then this thing went down much faster than has happened in history. And frankly, I think the regulators did a good job in responding very quickly, because normally you have longer to respond to this. So they acted with quite a lot of speed, given how quickly this happened.
Speaking at an Economic Club of Washington event, Fraser also stressed that she believes the string of bank failures are an isolated event. Citigroup was among 11 banks that provided $30 billion in deposits to First Republic last week in an effort to shore up the troubled lender.
The Bank of England is today likely to continue the quickest series of rate rises in three decades. Economists and investors anticipate policymakers will raise the benchmark lending rate a quarter point to 4.25%. Data on Wednesday showed that inflation climbed for the first time in 4 months, solidifying expectations for a hike. Policymakers at the UK Central Bank will publish their decision at 12 o'clock today.
And just finally, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak cemented his leadership by passing his Brexit deal with a near 500-vote majority. Sunak won convincingly, despite predecessors Liz Truss and Boris Johnson turning out to vote against him. It came on a day that Boris Johnson had to defend his conduct to the inquiry into whether he lied to Parliament.
I apologise for inadvertently misleading this House. But to say that I did it recklessly or deliberately is completely untrue, as the evidence shows.
The inquiry could see Johnson suspended as an MP and even lose his seat if found guilty.
Those are our top stories on the programme this morning. Carol, I don't know if you've had a chance to dig into today's Big Take report, an absolutely fascinating insight into the energy market here in the UK. The headline, Customers Foot the Bill for Traders Manipulating the UK Power Markets. This is some of what's been going on behind the scenes. As we've seen energy prices go up massively for consumers, it's also costing the national grid to get energy from some of the providers.
Yeah, look, this is digging deep, detailed reporting and all the charts, and it is an amazing read. So basically, this practice that Bloomberg talks about is really quite widespread. So-called balancing mechanism, the ability of energy providers to sort of switch on and off generators and then to charge the grid more in order to then add at peak times extra energy. The regulator calls it a sharp practice. It involves the UK's biggest energy companies, SSE, Uniper, Vitol's, VPI. They've been using this tactic, but the profits, the money from this, absolutely enormous. And so now it does look like there is the energy regulator Ofgem announcing plans to tighten the rules. But it's also the same issue in Europe, apparently. And this has been known for quite some time. So this is another fantastic piece by Gavin Finch and his team. He's well known for digging deep at Bloomberg.
Definitely worth a read this morning as well. Well, let's turn to the main central banking news of the day. The Federal Reserve pressing ahead with another interest rate hike. Jerome Powell says there could be more in store. The central bank are also saying officials don't expect to be cutting rates this year. Our chief rates correspondent Garfield Reynolds joins us now for more. Garfield, the Fed chose fighting inflation over other concerns. How soon might we know if they've made the right decision?
Well, we could know as soon as this weekend if there's further banking troubles, which obviously we hope won't be the case. More likely, though, we're going to need to wait for some of the coming data. We've got the PMI surveys and similar coming towards the end of this month. That's going to be key. The next readings on consumer sentiment from a range of different places, that's also going to be important. I mean, those are the sort of soft-ish data that tend to give you a faster read on how rapidly a particular event is hurting or helping the economy. So those are things to be looking out for when it comes to trying to judge how much damage, you know, has been done. There are also surveys on your credit availability and how banking managers, and they'd already been pulling in credit before any of this, but we'll see what happens when the next ones of those come in.
The issue, though, is that not a single Fed policymaker on the dot plot is projecting lower interest rates by the end of the year, and the markets are. There's a real total divergence between what bond markets think and what the Fed is doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, bond markets, you have to understand, the dot plots have regularly proved to be wildly out of line with reality. You can say the same for some of the bond market bets as well. So, you know, it's a kind of a blind ignoring the blind situation going on here. You know, they're both guesstimating what's going to happen. The bond market has been certain, remember, for quite some time that we are heading towards a likely recession with those deeply inverted, longer term yield curves. The question now is, how close are we to that? And I think the key for what the bond market is thinking is the bond market saying, well, we think there's about a 50% chance the Fed does indeed hike again in May. But if it does, it's then going to cut in June. So they're saying to the Fed, you may have already made a policy error. If you hike again, you will have made one. So that's part of the calculation for the bond market. They think the Fed has probably done too much, hence they're going to have to cut rates by the end of this year. The Fed is saying, we think for now we've done enough, maybe not quite enough, but we don't think we've overdone it because we don't think that this is going to be a sufficiently dangerous financial crisis that it will bring the economy to its knees. We'll get a read on some of that in the next few weeks, and that will perhaps offer some evidence as to which of those two sides is closer to the mark.
Okay. Garfield Reynolds, our chief rates correspondent, thank you very much for bringing us the latest on that after that decision by the Federal Reserve to press ahead with a quarter point interest rate hike.
Now, up next, homegrown bank run, time to learn French, and leadership is taxing.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Business Week, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Paper Review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
Bloomberg James Wilcock joins us in the studio with more details on those stories. James, starting with The Times writing about what happened to Silicon Valley Bank UK.
Yes, Stephen. So they pick up on this letter that the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey has sent to the Treasury Select Committee explaining ahead of a hearing next week what is going on with Silicon Valley Bank UK. And it points out that 30% of its total deposit base was withdrawn within a single day.
A day?
A day. And that £2.9 billion was able, they were able to pay it all out, but it would not have been capable to keep doing so with the failure of its parents. Now, being Bloomberg, I went and pulled out the reports and actually got the actual numbers. Now, Caroline, being an extremely expert journalist, you know the definition of liquidity coverage ratio, which is what the bank sets as like, well, how far you should be covering your deposits, which is you should have enough in liquid assets to cover 30 days of outflows. Now, in December 2021, in the entire month, at Silicon Valley Bank UK saw nearly £10 billion in withdrawals, so 9.9 billion. By 9 a.m. on the 10th of March, they had seen 9.2. By 1:30, they had seen an additional 7.8. By 3 p.m., an additional 7.5. And by close of business, another 7 billion. So you're looking at, within hours, a whole month, which blows apart the liquidity coverage ratio and adds to that point Jane Fraser was making earlier in the programme, that when you do see a run in this modern environment, modern technology changes the game completely.
I think that's absolutely amazing. That's so fascinating. Yeah, you're right. This, the digital banking is with us and perhaps, yeah, this is the consequence. Speed.
Let's go to the Telegraph next, James. They're staying with their coverage of parts of London's financial sector moving to Paris.
Yes, and what is interesting is they're using Bloomberg data to show it, which is why I picked this one out. They have pulled some Bloomberg data to show the London market is now $250 billion smaller than its French rival. And it's linked, where the Telegraph do seem to add a bit of value here is they often write up how Europe and the ECB and regulators are putting increasing barriers to traders working from London in European markets. And they pointed out that the ECB has previously identified 56 groups of traders who should be doing their jobs in the European Union. Now, I know previous paper reviews have pointed out in return that that's often from a risk perspective. But Will Shaw in Bloomberg this morning has pointed out that Goldman Sachs' partner, Leah Geneve, is relocating from London to Paris to become the head of FIC there. So this is a real and moving story. And where I think Bloomberg sort of changes to the Telegraph's view is this isn't just Paris, and it's weird to make it just a Paris-London story because Brexit has made Europe a fragmented financial system. It is not just all based in London. You are seeing shares trading in the Netherlands, corporate lawyers in moving to Frankfurt, and Dublin, Milan, Madrid and Warsaw also playing these supporting roles rather than everything moving through London. It's a whole breakup across the picture.
Well, that is the great question, basically. Where will, we still don't really know where the great, you know, financial and banking centre in Europe is going to be, or indeed if there will be one coalescing around one or not. Just lastly, Rishi Sunak's tax returns also came out yesterday afternoon. How did the papers write those up?
Well, they wrote them up with the numbers, Caroline. UK Prime Minister, he paid more than £400,000 in tax for last financial year. Now, given the Sunday Times rich has estimated he and his wife have a net worth of £730 million, that is a bit of a disparity, although that still makes him one of the richest people in the country. I talked to our finance whiz, John Stepek, and I followed up on Dan Needle, who's a friend of the show and founder of Tax Policy Associates. They both said these are boring returns. But what is interesting is you compare the capital gains tax paid versus the income tax paid, which is far less. And it builds a picture of Sunak that it gives Labour this attack line Angela Rayner said of, your income tax burden is a lot higher than your capital gains tax burden. And when working people are paying a large amount of money, that could be a difficult issue for Sunak to thread as one of the wealthiest men in Britain.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.